Welcome to this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd. Today, I am here with Layla Caraway because the wolf has still decided to be on vacation, or as he calls it, holiday. So I brought Layla in to talk to me today about various different things that are going around here in Tarrant County. And by the way, we're going to talk about Tarrant County here in a second. But Layla's a local community volunteer and activist. She serves on multiple boards and commissions in Haltom City. She's currently serving as the chairwoman for the Northeast Tarrant Chamber. She's also produced a documentary and short story based off the Trinity River Vision and worked on numerous campaigns in Tarrant County and supports a lot of charitable efforts here in the community. So Layla, thanks very much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So talk to me a little bit about the Northeast Chamber of Commerce. What exactly does it do? What area does it cover? What is its purpose? So for everybody listening, a lot of people don't know exactly what a Chamber of Commerce really does. So walk us through that.
The Northeast Tarrant Chamber encompasses Watauga, North Richland Hills, Haltom City, Richland Hills, Fort Worth, Keller. We don't turn anyone away, but we bring businesses together and we help grow those businesses within the community, as well as, you know, they do a lot for the community. You just meet a lot of great people in the chamber, and we try to use, when you're looking for businesses, you try to look for chamber members because you become friends with these people and you volunteer alongside these people. And we want to help them all grow their business, which makes our communities more prosperous and makes all our communities better when we all work together.
So as a business owner, then I can see that aspect that a business owner might want to do business with another business owner.
Exactly.
Right? If I'm an insurance agent, let's say, and I have a mortgage broker in town, you could pair up with them and say, hey, let's exchange business. Let's help each other out. As a general citizen, you know, the guy that's just going and he's clocking in, clocking out, what can the Chamber of Commerce do for the typical Joe citizen?
We have individuals that actually do join the chamber, and it's, again, to get involved with their community and to have those businesses and those contacts at their fingertips. If you need a roofer, well, who's in the chamber that, you know, gives back to the community and works alongside us on projects? And it's just, it's a way to bring businesses together and communities together, and individuals are more than welcome to join chambers and get involved.
So does the chamber have, like, monthly, weekly meetings, things like that, that the general public, the business owners come to? How does that work?
Yes, we have. You could probably, pre-COVID, you could probably go to something every day. There are different networking groups. There are monthly luncheons. There are monthly meetings. A lot of, you know, it's not all about work. We have, you know, mixers and looking at getting younger business owners together and learning from them and them being able to get mentors of long-term businesses and to grow their companies and share ideas. It's a lot of sharing.
What's been one of the struggles with the chamber of getting younger business owners in there? And I know we're in this COVID time, right? So we can talk pre-COVID and current COVID, but I know younger business owners is much different than your typical business owner. What's been one of the struggles for the younger business owner?
I think it is a struggle because, well, you put me on the spot and I'm not exactly sure how to answer that.
Well, would it be something along the lines of, you know, the younger generation, they struggle to join organizations. That's been something with any organization that's out there. And could it be that maybe the younger generation of business owners don't really understand the benefits to them of the Chamber of Commerce or the benefits to their potential customers?
I think that's it. And I think the more they learn, and if we can get them involved, once they become involved, we have some great chamber members that are very young and new businesses. And I think once they get involved, they see the benefit. It's just that gap of how do you bring them on and show them what the benefits could be for them personally and professionally.
So getting them involved and trying to figure out how to get them in there is kind of the $64,000 yes. question. How do you grab a hold of them? How do you get their attention to get them involved with the chamber and what's going on?
Yes.
So I'm sure if you look at some of the business owners that have been business owners in the Northeast Tarrant County area for years, they're probably, you know, some of those crusty old guys, right? They're saying, you know, how do we get these young guys in here? How do we get them involved? But there's a lot of things that some of that younger generation could learn from them. And there's a lot of things those old crusty guys could probably learn from some of the younger crowd.
Absolutely. So, it's a two-way street for sure. And, you know, the younger crowd, they're more about, you know, texting and instant message, and you know, the older crowd has that more community feel and meeting face to face and building relationships, and I think that's what they could bring to the table for the younger business owners.
Absolutely. So the building, I know I've driven past the Northeast Chamber of Commerce, I don't know, several times. It's right there on 820 and 377, right there next to the water. And I'm talking about water, and I know we're going to get into what I know we're going to talk about water here in a little bit. But so talk to me about what you do at some of these mixers. I mean, there might be some folks that are listening that say, you know, well, what goes on at one of these mixers? And maybe they're a little bit scared to want to attend because they're not quite sure what goes on. So if you have one of these business mixers, what's a typical business mixer look like at the Northeast Chamber of Commerce?
So different businesses will sponsor them. So you get to go to a different business every time. And, you know, sometimes they're a lunch or they're a happy hour and you can come through and meet people. And I would encourage anyone to, you know, follow the chamber website, the Northeast Tarrant Chamber. And
what is that website? Did I put you on the spot?
You did.
I'm sorry.
I thought we were talking water, Max.
Yeah, no, we're not quite to water yet. So all you got to do is go into Google, though, and look at Northeast Tarrant County Chamber of Commerce, and we're going to find it. And I'm sorry, Layla, for putting you on the spot like that. You know, like I said, we're just talking here. There's no trick questions.
Well, and that's the thing about the chamber. Do not be intimidated to come by yourself. You will make a friend or two before you leave. This is a great group of people. Some of those older, you know, we have members that have been members of the chamber for 40, 50 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So a lot of, you know, a lot of the schools, we have insurance agents. We have a lot of chamber members that have been involved in the community and the chamber for many decades.
How did you decide to make a career, make a job out of working for the Chamber of Commerce?
Well, I don't actually work for the Chamber of Commerce.
Okay.
Every year they pick someone to lead the board of directors. And I was asked last year if I would move from the executive board to lead the board, and I did, and it has been the strangest year ever in the history of the chamber. So
when did your tenure start as far as being the chairwoman? Okay. So here it is. I'm guessing January 1, January 2, right? So you're here we are at 2020. It's all looking up, right? And here goes January and everything's good, and here's February, and then all of a sudden there's this virus that's going on, and then March hits and basically all bets are off.
Yes.
Right. So what has the struggles been with the Chamber of Commerce with going on through this COVID mess that we have? It's got to be a lot of stuff y'all have had to deal with.
It has been a struggle. We furloughed. The chamber only has about 4 employees, and we furloughed a few of those. We were able to bring them back this month.
That's great.
Yes, yes. That was our goal, was just try to get through the worst of it. And, you know, our our chamber members like to be together. And so it's been a real struggle to have to cancel all our meetings, all our lunches, and I've been running a lot of Zoom meetings. And
are you Zoomed out yet?
A little bit. Yesterday, I think I had 3 in a row. So
yeah,
it was.
I know that
much.
That is one of those things that's going on right now. Is the Zoomed out? Zoom was fun when it came out, and I remember, you know, Skype has been around forever. So video chatting is nothing new. And then if you have an iPhone, you have the ability to go ahead and do those video calls through iPhones. And then this COVID stuff happened, and it was like Zoom was this new invention, but it's been around forever. Everybody downloaded it. Everybody started using it, and it only took about 2 or 3 months and everybody was sick of it.
Yes.
So
yes.
I still cringe when I have to get on Zoom calls, and you know, no offense. I'll see. Party foul, you didn't turn your phone off.
I actually must have turned it on instead.
Yeah. my phone has not been on as far as audio or audio alerts for, I think, going on about 6 years now.
Mine never is, but for my job from 8 to 5 now it has to be.
Yeah.
But
that's fine. No worries there, but.
Go
ahead.
I'm sorry. The one struggle we're having with the chamber, because we weren't able to have all our events, which produce revenue, which part of that we adopt usually 12, sometimes more, depending on what we raise, scholarships for local kids.
Okay.
From BISD, Keller ISD, sometimes like St. John's and Bethesda, our school, main school districts that we support. And so we're really trying to catch up on that so that we can do at least, you know, we'd like to do the 12 that we normally do. And
sure.
And we have businesses that, you know, they'll come in and pick up an entire scholarship. And it's just a great way to be involved in your community and to grow your business at the same time.
Yeah. So when you can't have those events, though, that are fundraising events, then it struggles on that trickle down effect.
Yes.
Because you were probably having dinners, you were having mixers, you were having all kinds of other events that was there for the pure reason of raising those funds. And you still have kids going through high school. They're still graduating. They still need scholarships. So that had to be a huge struggle there with the chamber. And so you're trying to work through it, though.
Yes. And last week we had once a year we do a Hometown Hero Awards, and the cities and the nonprofits and the school districts, they can all nominate who they would like to recognize for, you know, going above and beyond. And we were able to raise some money. That was our first big event we've had, and we were able to raise some money.
So going into the Hometown Heroes, when you say above and beyond, what do you mean by that as far as above and beyond what?
So, like, one of the ones from Haltom City, this gentleman has been involved in Haltom City almost his entire life. Back in the day, he had boxing gyms. He's taught hundreds of kids. He was a Golden Gloves champion, and he's taught hundreds of kids boxing, baseball. He was a big driver of us getting our Veterans Memorial Park in Haltom City going, and we also now have an all-access park for handicapped children.
Oh, that's great.
And he was the driving force in getting both of those parks going. So people like that, you know, we had an officer out of Watauga recognized for something they had done. And just people that, you know, go above and beyond.
Yeah.
And need to be recognized or should be recognized.
Right. No, that's absolutely fantastic that at least the chamber is looking at people like that. Because I'm going to guess most of those people are probably not looking for the accolades. They're not even expecting the accolades whenever they get them. And so when they do get them, they're happy, but at the same time, they're not expecting it. So, you know, they get a little plaque or
yes,
whatever, but the stuff they're doing in the background is what's important to them. And it's great that the chamber is doing things like that. So that's great. So water. Let's talk about some water. So we've got this Trinity River Vision. And I've done a little bit of research on this, but not that much. And I'm going to let you walk me through what's going on with this. Because as we kind of tried to do our podcast, we're trying to be kind of DFW-centric and then a little bit more Texas-centric. But, you know, there's people all around the world. And by the way, quick shout out. We do have some listeners that I found that are in Australia and Japan. I found that out 2 days ago. That was kind of crazy to hear. But so they're all around the world, but we're trying to kind of promote this around DFW in Texas. And, you know, because of me and my co-host who's on holiday is not here, but we're big Texas people and we're North Texas people. We all know about the Trinity River. We know what goes on with that, but we have this Trinity River Vision, and I'd like for you to walk me through what has gone on with this, what I've honestly looked at in my little bit of research, Layla, is a giant mess. So walk me through this.
I have a friend that calls it the world's biggest boondoggle. It back in 2003, 2004, it's when it was brought to Fort Worth City Council, and it cost about $365 million then is what their cost was. We are now over $1.16 billion, I believe, is the cost. So from 2003 to 2020, we still don't have bridges. There are no canals, the channels haven't been dug, there's no development. We basically have nothing in 17 years.
17 years.
17 years since this started.
Yeah. And where you started to get involved was because of some flooding in Haltom City. Walk me through that. And I want to encourage everybody to look up the documentary Up a Creek. And like I said, I watched the documentary today. Very interesting documentary. You were a producer of that documentary. You're very obviously heavily involved in that documentary. And I want to encourage everybody listening to look it up. It is online. And so walk me through what happened that got you so involved. Because I do remember, and I'm not trying to kind of set you up here, but I do remember in the documentary where you said you never wanted to get involved in the middle of this, but because of what happened, you felt you had to get involved. So walk us through that. So pretend you're talking to people that haven't seen this. Walk us through that.
So in 2007, we had a great deal of flooding that entire year. I think through June we had 42 inches of rain in this area. So when it continued to rain in June, there was a 2 week period where all hell broke loose. A little girl drowned in a trailer park up off Denton Highway and 820. And then 2 weeks later, my backyard began to fall into Big Fossil Creek, and literally I lost 50 feet of land in 7 days.
Wow.
Yeah, we were the focal point of the news. Every channel was there morning, noon, and night. Police, fire, all day, every day, you know, that's where I got involved. It was my crash course in media and politics. I had not been involved in either and didn't ever plan on being. But when I started piecing things together and the more I learned, I didn't know what a water board was or what they did. And I started piecing all this together and found out that our congresswoman's son was over this project for the Trinity River Vision. And this is where all the money was going that was being called flood control. And the more you dig into that, the more you realize there's not really any flood control to this. And the Corps of Engineers, they have their study that came out around that time said the levees could be fixed for and don't get me lying, but I want to say it was about $10 million. The levees could be fixed as the part of flood control. But this Trendy River vision, when I started digging back then it started off being called Central City. And it was an earmark on a bill that had nothing to do with anything else.
An earmark on a bill at the federal level or yes, the state level? Federal. Okay.
And it was called Central City then. And then it was called, there was something else in between there, Trinity Uptown. And then it was changed to Trinity River Vision. And now it's changed to Panther Island. So it just, it through the years, everything changes except the taxpayers are the ones paying for this.
Really?
Absolutely. All of it is funded by the county. The city has a portion. They're trying to get the federal funding. This is all, developers will be able to make money off something the taxpayers have paid for. If anything ever gets built.
Do the taxpayers know that they're paying for this?
The majority of them don't. They are just told we're getting a river walk in Fort Worth. And everybody's like, oh, that sounds great. And
yeah, because everybody's been to San Antonio, yeah, walked around the river walk there and said, yes, oh, well, we need one up here in Fort Worth. Right. So that's right, what they're looking at.
Right.
It's a tourist trap to bring some money in.
Right.
It's how I would look at it.
Yes. And that's what the vision was, but there were so many just missteps along the way, and there still are to this day. You know, you have a lot of families involved and hired and spending your money, and the documentary I actually made with a friend who was, his business, which was a 20-year photography business, successful photography business in Fort Worth, was being eminent domained by the Trinity River Vision. And he and a group of businesses right there that were being taken on White Settlement, they joined together at one point and created a group and came up with an alternate plan to still do the same thing, cost less money, took less existing businesses, and they were told that wasn't going to happen.
Okay.
And usually any of these projects the Corps does, they have to have an alternate plan. You submit two plans, and they were told that this one didn't need an alternate plan. Congress.
So that's a federal law, federal rule. Whenever somebody's going to put something together, there's got to be a plan A, plan B, basically.
Yes.
Is what you're saying. But for this one, they didn't have to have a plan B.
No, they did not.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's just come to light in the last few years, which I have to give the media some credit these days, because in the last couple of years they've really started digging. You know, the critics of the Trinity River Vision all these years where people were saying they're crazy, they're against development, and now people are telling all these, oh, you were right the whole time. These guys that started this, you know, before I came along in 2007, there were, you know, the Don Woodards and Clyde Peach and Bob Lukeman and Steve Holleran. There's this group of guys in Fort Worth that they knew what was up way before anybody else, and almost everything they said was going to happen or wasn't happening it's the truth.
Yeah, so they were basically the fortune tellers that nobody wanted to listen to, but now all of a sudden everything they were talking about is coming true.
Yes. Yeah.
So I remember going over to a friend's house who lived in Azle. And I left downtown Fort Worth, and I was driving down Henderson Street and heading that way. And I can tell by the look in your eyes, you know exactly the route that I'm taking. And I called him on the phone, and I'm driving over to his house, and I said, what are all these big things sticking up here out of the ground? He's like, well, what are you talking about? I'm like, Well, I'm at, you know, Henderson Street, and I'm driving over here. He's like, oh, those are the bridges to nowhere. And I said, this sounds like a Simpsons episode. You know, when they made the escalator to nowhere. I'm like, what's going on here? I've never heard about any of this. And you still drive by today, and it still just looks like this failed construction project. But I think a lot of people around Tarrant County don't really know what's going on with that, and they don't realize, especially the citizens of Fort Worth that are, you know, responsible for this. They've got their taxes going towards this. Nobody really knows what's going on with that. I mean, how crazy is that, that we can actually have something here that isn't going anywhere, and we're worried about the flood abatement, like you were talking about. I've seen the plans. I kind of looked at some of those pictures that now we're going to create this Panther Island or whatever, and I'm like, oh, that kind of looks pretty, but at the same time, it's kind of ridiculous at the same time. And it's just this big dirt hole in the ground. And that's where we're at right now. I mean, are we ever going to recover from this? And by the way, I did look into some of the numbers, and now we're over $1 billion, yeah. I think. And there's still nothing to be really shown from it. I think there's a brewery that's open, Panther Island Brewery. I'm not saying they're a sponsor, but I like beer. So Panther Island Brewery, if you want to give me some beer, let's talk about that. But you don't have to actually be on the island. You could be Panther City Brewery. You could change that. You know, I'm not trying to throw stones there, but what about the tax increment financing district? So that was a big topic in your documentary.
Yes, and we made the documentary because I wanted to put it together for an easy way for people to explain, because that's how I learned. So I wanted to go back to these guys and say, okay, tell me this, so other people could get that concisely from these people. And the tax increment financing district, they're called TIFs, and they can take a certain area and take all the money, the tax from that, and just put it into that area. So you don't have that money, which should be going to all of Fort Worth. You no longer have that money for police and fire and all the things that, you know, you need the money for to run a city.
Right.
It's just going back into that district. And on top of that, they can still turn around and sell bonds. They passed one last year for $250 million. I'm sorry, it may have been the year before. For $250 million for flood control. And
for this same area?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so here's some news to me.
What they get away with.
So how are they doing this? How are they getting away with it?
I think, I'm sad to say, but, you know, we have the Star-Telegram is who covers it. And, you know, case in point, they wrote an article a few weeks ago about the bridges being done ahead of schedule. Okay, they were started in like 2014. So I'm not sure ahead of whose schedule, because, you know, I've had people look up and send me, you know, it took a year to build the Golden Gate Bridge or so forth. And I'm
right.
Like, we have these bridges over dry land.
Which is a national icon, right?
Yeah,
but these bridges over a pretend island that they now want to build, we can't do in
six years.
It is.
Yeah,
No, you say 6 years. This has been going on more than that.
It has, and that's
kind of ridiculous.
But they had a big explosion and party kickoff for when they started the bridges, and I want to say that was 2014, and we're still looking at half finished bridges over dry land. And you know, those businesses down there on Henderson and White Settlement, the ones that got to stay, you know, they're struggling. they're still struggling. Several of them had to sell. Several of them fought them and sold later.
Wasn't there some issues down there with eminent domain?
Yes. There were 90 businesses.
90 businesses with eminent domain. And what's happened there? Now it's just blank or what's going on there?
Some of them moved. Some of them went out of business. You know, we had McKinley Ironworks. They were a huge foundry that had been there, I don't know how many generations of the McKinley family, and, you know, that's gone. And, you know, you're erasing parts of history. You're putting people out of business. You know, Angelo's. Angelo's is down there. They struggle every day. You just can't
get... Oh, the barbecue joint.
Yes.
I love Angelo's, and they're not a sponsor by any means, but I've been to Angelo's right at, they're off White Settlement, and I've drank plenty of beers there, and I've had lots of their good barbecue, but they're struggling because of this.
Yes, they have.
I did
for
not
years.
Know that.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Now, I will tell you, the last time I went to Angelo's, it seemed difficult to get there.
Yes.
Because of all the road construction and everything else. So I think a lot of people forget about the fact that when you tear up roads, when you have a bunch of detours, what that does to a local business. And I mean, you being involved with the Chamber of Commerce, you know that there's certain businesses that can operate off of a computer and everything's online, but a restaurant, they can't do it that way.
No,
I mean, they can't. So I didn't know about Angelo's with that, and that makes total sense. But I didn't even know that this whole mess right here was affecting them. That's crazy.
Yes, and there's a mechanic down there, and he's been featured on the news. You know, they just, if you have to go through that mess and there's only one way to get there, I mean, people are going to find other options. If
right.
you make it that hard for people to visit those locations, they're going to go somewhere else.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And we live in a culture right now where we have tons of different options of what we want to eat, what we want to listen to, what we want to watch. You know, we got Netflix, we got Hulu, we got all this, and so we don't even have to worry about Hollywood anymore to mm-hmm. put out a movie. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was talking to my wife today. Apparently, tomorrow night, we're going to watch Father of the Bride Part 3 on Netflix because they put this out. So there's all kinds of things that we can now watch, we can now look at, we can now listen to. So what can something like the Northeast Chamber of Commerce do? What can you do to tell everybody to pay attention to what is going on? Other than a random Facebook post, I know you're adamant with this, and I appreciate your just absolute passion towards this. That's why I wanted to have you on the podcast. What can Joe Citizen or Jane Citizen do to correct this mess? Is there anything they can do? What can we do?
I think the citizens of Tarrant County, one, need to be aware that they're paying for all this and what it's costing them and has cost them over the years. And, you know, if you want a history lesson in how all this goes, not only Up a Creek, the film, but if you go back and search on the Fort Worth Weekly, they've done some tremendous articles about what's really going on and how much money is involved and how many failed projects there have been along the way and whose family members work at the Water District. And the Water District, the TRWD, is really the big player in all this. They had a bill passed back in, I want to say, 2006. It's a House Bill 2639, and it gave the Water District the authority to take property, to loan money, to borrow money. I mean, they have more authority than people even have a clue about. People don't know what a water district is, and now they have this one that's pretty much gone rogue. They're right now trying to get even more authority. So people should follow that at the Fort Worth City Council meetings, the council pushed this off. They delayed it at the last meeting, but the TRWD has gone and asked for even more authority for land along the water.
TRWD stands for?
The Tarrant Regional Water District.
Okay.
And that would be the way to fix it. We did do some elections with the TRWD. We had someone elected for a few years, Mary Kelleher. She was very instrumental in getting several things done. Of course, being one vote out of five, it was a long 4 years for her.
Sure.
But, you know, this whole floating the river, I don't know anybody who would do it, but apparently there are people that get in the Trinity River. And
hey, I always remember the joke that you could go fish in the Trinity River, but you could never eat a fish that you caught out of the Trinity River.
No. And Mary was very instrumental in getting them to test the water before these events, because no one was testing the level of E. coli and bacteria, dangerous bacteria in the water. So some events were actually canceled because of the levels. So.
Okay.
She was also able to get, there was a clause in their TRWD rules that basically at the bottom of it said the general manager can change anything in this at any time. And so she was able to get that taken out. And
good.
Some records released. She tried really hard for a long time to get open records. That's the whole thing. The water board should be more transparent, and more people need to know what's going on. And I believe they have another race coming up in May. And if you follow Mary Kelleher on Facebook, I'm sure there will be announcements coming on that soon of who's running and who's not related.
Sure.
To anybody else on the board that's
right.
Running.
And you know, Fort Worth's an old city.
It is.
And there's a lot of that, you know, the old buddy system. And that's the way with a lot of cities, and especially in Texas, it's that old boys club, right? You know, you've got these guys get around and they say, well, I'm going to shake your hand and I'm going to buy you a beer here, or we're going to belong to this club or that club, and all that goes on. And in today's day and age, you've got so many people that realize they're pumping their money into certain things. When they pay their taxes, they go and they buy a 12-pack of Miller Lite, and they pay sales tax on that, and they're not quite sure where all that sales tax money goes, or they pay, you know, their different taxes or property taxes, or they pay their water bill. I mean, my wife and I today, we were arguing about our new water bill from the city of Fort Worth, and our water bill was $74-75, and now it's $300. Because they installed new meters into our water and said, well, these are more accurate, and this is actually the amount of water you're using. I'm saying, well, no, I'm not using any more water. Why are you charging me so much more? I said, okay, let's shut the sprinklers off then. I'll let the grass die. I don't care. I'm not going to pay all this money to the city of Fort Worth, and I didn't even prompt you on that, but this literally happened 2 hours before I sat down with you, and I'm sitting here saying, this is ridiculous, the amount of money that we're pumping into here just so somebody can have this fancy little island, a fake island right there in Fort Worth that we don't need. We changed Fort Worth. We put so much emphasis on Sundance Square. We changed I-30. I know you remember that. We moved that around. We've done all that. And now we've got to change all this. And then, by the way, even if we do this Panther Island thing and it actually comes to fruition, which I don't think it ever will.
My friend who's in his 80s said it's not going to happen in his lifetime, and it may not happen in mine.
Yeah, absolutely. But even if it does, it's not going to fix some of the other problems that it was actually tagged to fix.
Correct.
You know, and this kind of goes back to, you know, when you had the flood issues and you lost basically your whole backyard, yes, right? It's never going to fix that. So where do we go from here? If you had a magic wand, Layla, if you literally had a magic wand, you could say, I'm going to wave this magic wand and I'm going to fix all of this mess. What would you do?
I would turn the Tarrant Regional Water District upside down and shake the building and start over. Get a whole new board, get a whole new
Can staff. We do that?
You can.
How do we do that?
So the voting area, so that election is in May, and it's the top vote getters. Every other year, there's either 3 seats up or 2 seats up, and it's the top vote getters. You're not running against somebody for a spot. It's a strange election. They used to hold it back on a Tuesday in February when nobody knew.
Oh, like, that seems very convenient.
It was, yes. And so people just have to pay attention, because it's only while the Tarrant Regional Water District services 11 counties, they're supplying water to 11 counties. Only a portion of Tarrant County can vote. And like, we live in Haltom City. Our water comes from TRWD through Fort Worth. Fort Worth is the wholesaler. And we can't vote.
Why is that?
Because the district is all gerrymandered and rigged. And when I asked at one point, why is Haltom City not included? Because it literally goes around us, the voting area. And they said they didn't elect to be a part of the water district. Well, the water district started before Haltom City was incorporated. So there's a little change there. But the thing is, they keep the tax rate for the TRWD fairly low on those people in the district that can vote, but they can raise the water rates all the way across the board on everybody else. So these water rates you and your wife are discussing, we were actually looking at our water bill before we came here too. The water, it's not all going to water. And you know, we have several issues. That's what the Water Board was founded for, was water supply and flood control. Some recreation was added at some point. This is not some recreation. And we have no panthers. We have no island. We need to put the focus back on water supply and flood control. At one point, we sued Oklahoma and tried to take their water.
No kidding.
Yes, probably 7 years ago.
I think we should take Oklahoma's water because they're not good for anything up there.
They can keep their beer and we'll take the water. Is that how that works?
Well, they finally got real beer up there.
Oh,
so yeah. But what are they good for? You know, fake casinos until Texas decides they're going to have casinos, then Oklahoma's going to go bankrupt.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
Let's be honest there. I mean, you know, that's what's going to happen. If Texas ever decides we're going to legalize gambling, Oklahoma's dead.
Yes.
My parents go up to Windstar at least once a week. And I think my mother probably funds 1% of Windstar because of what she does up there. But, you know, if we could literally just get rid of Oklahoma, I think we'd be good.
Yes.
What you're saying is basically Texas just needs to be its own nation, which is one of my things. You know, I love Texas, so let's just be our own country.
I'm in.
So, well, Layla, thank you very much for joining me today. I really appreciate the insight here. I hope that our listeners out there, even though a lot of you guys aren't in Tarrant County, And we haven't explained that yet, so I need to go ahead and explain that. So when I was texting Layla, she was texting me back and forth about coming on to the podcast, and for some reason our iPhones decided to make Tarrant all in capital letters. And so she sent it to me and she said, "Oh, I didn't mean to yell Tarrant at you." And when I read the message, I didn't really think too much about it. And I was typing my own message back about Tarrant. And when I hit the send button, apparently my phone decided, okay, well, I'm going to capitalize Tarrant. I do not know why Tarrant is such a curse word that you have to yell Tarrant. It's just a county in Texas, but apparently it must be a curse word. So maybe our friends at Apple are just upset with Tarrant County, just like Layla is as well. You know, so Layla, keep up the good fight. Tell everybody what you've got going on as far as, you know, if there's something that you would like our listeners to look up and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I think on Facebook, if you'll follow Mary Kelleher, she's a great resource.
Spell that.
K-E-L-L-E-H-E-R. She's a great resource. She was the one who was on the water board, and she was always the 4-1 vote. I think a couple of times she got one or two of them to vote with her. But Mary is a great resource. She really keeps up with what's going on at the water district, and this is my plug to try to get her to run again. So we will be looking for all the support we can get.
Yeah, come on, Mary.
2021.
Yeah, let's do this.
Yes. I think she'll be ready. She's a very big proponent of the people and doing what's right. She owns a farm out in East Fort Worth, and she floods a lot.
Wow.
And that's how her and I actually met. And we had been friends about 5 minutes when I said, "Hey, do you want to run for the water board? You have to decide in 2 days." And she did. And she's tremendous. I don't know anybody who's met Mary that doesn't love her and love her honesty. And she wants to give this board back to the people. And that's exactly where it belongs.
Now, as we close, in watching your documentary, Up a Creek, there was a little girl that lost her life. Let's close with that and tell me what happened with that. Kind of a sad story, but I'd like people to know, you know, what happened with that story.
So she was 4 years old, and it actually wasn't raining in Haltom City. The water they took on was from Keller, and the flow just couldn't handle down there where they were living. And after all this happened, I pulled some maps from the North Central Texas Council of Governments, which is the COG. I pulled some maps, and it showed her whole street underwater, which, you know, really upset me that we knew this was going to happen and we let it happen. And a 4-year-old child lost their life for no reason, for basically over greed, because we're trying to cram more people in more spots that are more dangerous. And that's what really got my attention. And the way those people, that area is a trailer park, and the way those people were being treated, I was kind of being treated a certain way, but the way those people were being treated, and they had lost their homes, their cars, a little girl, they had lost everything down there. It just really angered me that we weren't doing the right things and the focus wasn't in the right spot. And so I felt I had to do something. So I took a screenwriting class. I bugged Bob Luckman until he made a documentary with me. And then I did write a short follow-up story that a portion of it is in a local book, the Panther City Review, that they put out every year. The documentary is Up a Creek. The short story is Without a Paddle. So it's all coming full circle. And that's one thing I wanted to say. We're talking about sad things. one of the greatest things through all this are the things I've learned and the people I've met and fought this fight alongside of. And last night we lost one of those great guys, Ross Kesseg. Really great guy that has just done so much for fighting this and liberty. And he's just really young guy, really young family, really great friend. And we're going to miss him on this journey for sure.
Absolutely. Well, Layla, I really appreciate you joining me today on this. This has been very informative. I encourage everybody to look this up, get involved, and you're going to be able to find Layla with any of the social media links or the Northeast Tarrant Chamber of Commerce or what's going on with the Water District and all this good stuff. So, Layla, thank you very much for joining me on this podcast, and hope to talk to you soon. Maybe we can have a follow-up when all this stuff gets fixed.
Sure.
And we'll have more of a happier podcast.
Yes.
when we realize that, hey, you know, people need to get involved. People need to look at what's going on. And in this day and age of the media just kind of shying away from the true story and everything, especially media right now, people like you are not able to tell the whole story. It's all about this 45-second snippet.
Yes.
Of something that goes on. Or, yes, like you say, a soundbite. That this is obviously more than a soundbite. So I hope people get involved. That this is a very important part of, you know, the DFW Metroplex. And I appreciate you coming on the podcast. So thank you so much, Layla.
Thank you, Max.
I really appreciate that.
Awesome.